Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Sandy Peavy, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Chief Information Officer. Sandy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Jason, your radio show gives CIOs an important platform to get our message out, so I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
All right, well, let's start with some basics. I always like to ask the basic question, what is the mission of the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center?
FLETC is a part of Homeland Security. Now, our part of that mission is that we train those who protect our homeland. We provide basic training for approximately 89 federal organizations, essentially everyone except FBI and DEA. Now, we provide training to them, we just don't do their basic training. And we also provide training for state, local, tribal, and international law enforcement officers. Now, let me give you an idea of the scope of what we train. We train everything from Secret Service, the U.S. Marshals, NCIS, Border Patrol, ICE, Capitol Police, Mint Police, ATF, Pentagon Force Protection, Diplomatic Service, the Federal Air Marshals, Bureau of Indian Affairs, Coast Guard, IRS, FFDOs, those are your federal flight deck officers. Those are the pilots that carry guns. And we even train the zoo police. We train them not only to accomplish their mission, but to bring them safely home to their families at night. We've got approximately 187 names of fallen law enforcement officers on our FLETC memorial. Our goal is to provide them with the best possible training so that we don't ever have to add another name to that memorial.
It's an incredible amount of work you guys do, it sounds like. I mean, just let alone the federal organizations, but then when you add the state, the local, the tribal, the international law enforcement, how does that all come together? Because it must be a bunch of different needs and different requirements.
Yes, it is. Jason, in case you can't already tell, I think that I have one of the coolest jobs of any CIO, because essentially I have to provide the technology that contributes to the efficient and effective training of all the nation's law enforcement personnel, the ones that you just heard. So my job essentially is to provide the core communications, computing, and enterprise services for our FLETC staff as well as our students. And basically, since 9/11, my job has primarily been tactical in nature. The agency hiring went through the roof after 9/11, and FLETC almost tripled in size in a short period of time to support the new training requirements. So I was really focusing then on the IT infrastructure used to support that growth. And now the pendulum has swung, and agencies are hiring less due to the current economical situation. So my job now is more in helping FLETC to see what we look like in the future, and then how to enable that vision with technology.
So it's interesting because, you, as you said, you're very a technical CIO. Now you're switching to more of that strategy CIO. Do you have a preference? Do you like one better than the other?
I like the strategic part better. When I was young and coming up, I was very tactical and very operational. But now, in fact, I have a great deputy that does a lot of the operational part, and I enjoy playing in the strategic part more.
And when you talk about the strategic part, you're talking about, as you mentioned, what FLETC will look like now and in the future. Does that include, for instance, a new IT strategy, or does that include a different way of looking at your mission?
Yes. Right now, Jason, most of our training is residential. So we're very focused on enhancing the training capabilities so that LEOs can get the training they need anywhere, anytime, and from any device. We actually have a learning management system today that provides online training to about 2,000 LEOs, and most of those are coming from state and local. And so we're currently trying to take a strategic look at providing a more robust virtual learning campus and trying to figure out just how it's going to interact with our brick-and-mortar facilities.
All right, sounds like you gave us a little bit of a hint of maybe some of your priorities. So before we go forward there, let me ask you a little bit about your office. Now, FLETC is pretty spread out. You have offices in South Carolina, New Mexico, Maryland. Your headquarters are in Georgia. How does this affect the way you manage all that technology?
When I first got to FLETC in late 1999, there weren't any standards that our individual sites must list between the sites. And as a matter of fact, we really didn't even have much technology, period, then. And the lack of standardization resulted in a lot of duplication and high cost to buy and maintain and kind of a lot of resources to support our kludged environment. So one of the first things I did was to develop policies and standards, hire the right people, centralize IT under our headquarters, put boots on the ground at sites, and then I concentrated on providing like a robust infrastructure. And all this has led up to kind of where we are today, which is with me providing enterprise services such as email and SharePoint and BlackBerries and VDI and video teleconferencing. The consolidation and standardization did what you would expect from those type of efforts. It reduced costs, it gave them access to technologies better, faster, and cheaper. But most importantly, what it's done is that all sites now have access to FLETC information anywhere and anytime, and it's allowing them to make some better informed decisions.
Interesting. Now, how big is your staff then? Because if you're spread out across the country, how many people, you said you put boots on the ground, do you have people in each area, or do you manage most things remotely? What is your IT budget for 2011?
Right now, I have approximately 66 feds and about 50-something contractors. I think I have probably about a 60-40 ratio of contractors to feds. And most of the ones are centrally here at the headquarters facility in Georgia, but I have four or five people at each one of the sites. So we do some centralized help desk and enterprise services, and then we have the boots on the ground to help them out there to size. Now, the ratio that I have with the contractors to feds is working really well for us. I'm real happy with where we are in terms of that. And in terms of our IT budget, we're basically a rounding error to some of the bigger components in DHS. I have approximately about $20 million a year budget.
Still, you know, it's not a big one compared to, you know, DHS proper, but still, it's a bit of money, and I'm sure you have to use it all. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those priorities you give us a little bit of a heads up on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Sandy Peavy, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Sandy Peavy, the Chief Information Officer of the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. Now, Sandy, before break, we talked about how you support the mission of FLETC. We talked about your office, how it's made up, and how you guys are fairly spread out across the country. Let's talk about some of your priorities that you hope to get done over the next 6 to 12 months. You gave us a little bit of a heads up when you talked about a learning management system of sorts. Tell us some more about what you want to get done.
I'm a big believer in the rule of three. Any more than that, and I found out that I lose the ability to effectively oversee and manage them. Essentially, my three priorities for the near term are enterprise services, mobile computing technologies, and some of what we talked about with the virtual learning. The good news with the enterprise services, talking about email and SharePoint and even some of the mobile computing ones, that they're also high on the department's list of priorities. So that should really help me out in that area. But out of all of those, one of the ones that I'm really most excited about that I think has the potential to help us with our training mission is the mobile computing technologies.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those mobile technologies. That's something that we're seeing across the government. For instance, the Veterans Affairs Department recently said that by October 1st, they're going to let their employees actually use smartphone devices, iPhones, Android devices. BlackBerry device, the ones that are different than what they're currently out there, some of the popular devices. So talk to me a little bit about what your plans are around mobile computing.
I couldn't agree with where they're going more. What I'd like to do is get to the BYOD model, which is that our staff and students can bring their own devices with them, and then we secure these and run them on the network in a virtual environment. Now, of course, we all know that how to do this in the secure environment is always the tough nut to crack, but we have got to figure it out. One of the things that we're doing here is we have an iPad pilot with one of our flagship training programs, and so we'll be real interested in seeing the outcome of that.
How big is that pilot? Is it a couple dozen people? Is it a couple hundred people?
Actually, we have a couple of hundred.
And right now, what you've done is what? You've issued them iPads and said, okay, go play with them? Or are there certain things that you're trying to do within the pilot?
We've issued them the iPads, and we're putting all the training materials themselves on the iPad, and we're giving them a SharePoint site where they can use that to collaborate and do some of the things that they can't do today. Now, the training materials themselves, we had actually just reams of books and papers that these students were having to carry around. And so now we've taken them and put all of that information onto the iPad. So I know they're excited about at least not having to carry all those books and papers around.
Well, I think any student would agree with that one. How long is the pilot going to go on for? Is this a limited time, or is this just something you're doing and then you'll take those lessons and then expand it to other areas?
We have about a 3-month pilot, and we're doing exactly that. We're going to look at it, take our lessons learned, and then figure out how to expand from there.
How far into it are you? I mean, have you learned some things already about the iPad and whether this is something that you see moving toward the future, or are there some challenges that you still have to overcome?
We're just beginning it now.
I know one thing that, again, going back to the VA example, Roger Baker also wants to do the BYOD approach with the devices. And he said one of the things about is we have to ensure security first and foremost. And then he said, well, maybe they'll just be kind of a thin client-like device. Maybe that if they will use their own device, we're going to have to do some other things. Get them to sign off saying we're allowed to push software to you, look at your device, look at what's on your device. And then also I know, for instance, the Defense Department has also taken a hard look at some of these mobile devices and are turning things off like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth for security reasons. Have you already started to do some of those things too in terms of setting up the standards by which the iPad or iPhone or Android devices can be used?
What we're doing right now, we actually had to get a waiver from DHS to conduct this pilot. We are following DOD's example. DHS is actually partnering with DOD to try to figure out how to do some of this stuff in a secured environment. We actually did a very small pilot with we turned the Wi-Fi off. And so now we've got the Wi-Fi enabled, and we have Bluetooth off, but we have the Wi-Fi enabled, and we're going to see what lessons and stuff we learn from that. Hopefully there'll be a lot that we can help DOD with and help other ones that are going down the same road that we're getting ready to travel.
Along with that idea of mobility computing, and we've talked a lot about the iPad pilot, are you also looking at, okay, how can we virtualize the desktop? How can we offer web email and things like that and applications through the web? Is that all part of this initiative?
Actually, that initiative is mainly just doing what we've already talked about. One of the big things that we're doing right now is we're adding simulations into our training. And that one is becoming beginning to play a big role in our training. For example, what do you think the major cause of fatality of law enforcement officers is?
Car accident?
You're absolutely right.
I got lucky.
Since 1990, it's motor vehicle crashes. And that date's important because research is showing that this is due to distractors, you know, like cell phones and texting and in-car computers. You know, it kind of mimics the same things that we're seeing in society today. It's really a poor decision versus lack of driving skills. So now we're using driving simulators that allow us to create more realistic scenarios where we can put them in unsafe conditions using these distractors. And so the sims are helping instill in the student the need to arrive alive. live. And I got another simulation example. What we're doing with the technology with the students is, how do kids communicate today?
Obviously, it's a lot of the Facebook, the Twitter, the mobile devices, the texting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, through the texting. You know, they don't talk to each other like we did. And as a result, we're having to spend more time today in teaching of interviewing skills, which is really vital to law enforcement officers. And so what we have now is a really cool avatar interview simulation where the students can practice and get feedback. It actually uses free-flowing conversations through speech recognition, and it has a computer-synthesized voice, and it uses virtual avatars that can actually display appropriate nonverbal behavior to create a realistic training experience.
That's actually pretty cool. Now, this is something that's in development or is already being tested and being used?
Actually, this is tested and being used today.
And are you guys also seeing some benefits already? I mean, I know from a technology side, you may not see it in the first hand, but are you hearing about some of how this is making a difference?
The feedback that we're getting is because that the students can practice and get the feedback directly from the simulation itself that it's helping them when they get out into the field.
Very interesting. I think, you know, the simulations are, people are always looking for ways, okay, how can we best use this idea of simulations and avatars? And obviously for the Air Force and FAA, for instance, they've used flight simulators for a long time, NASA. But this is a very interesting way to kind of use that technology in a different light to kind of accomplish the same thing, which is safety and understanding of how things work. Let me shift over to the enterprise services. Obviously, that's something we're hearing a lot about across the government, the idea of enterprise email or enterprise SharePoint. Sounds like you've already been down that path and have them implemented, or are you implementing some new ones or updating current ones?
We've done a lot here with consolidating it for FLETC, but now what we're doing is looking at going to the enterprise services that DHS is presenting to us, such as like we're doing looking at email as a service and SharePoint as a service, and they're also looking at mobile computing as a service. So we're in the throes of trying to figure out how to take what we've already consolidated and done enterprise at FLETC and how that's going to work playing with the department.
And I know that from talking to Richard Spires, the DHS CIO, he's talked several times about the enterprise email as well as kind of web hosting through the cloud. Is that something you guys are heading down that path, or are you already in the cloud in many ways?
No, we're heading down the path with DHS. Like I said, the mobile computing one is the one I'm really interested in because they're talking about doing the virtual desktop from the data centers, and we may have a little bit more of a challenge here at FLETC because of the distance that we are from the data centers. We have anywhere from like 3,000 to 5,000 people at one time that will be hitting these virtual services. And that may pose some bandwidth problems and some things. So we've offered to be one of the first pilots for DHS in this area.
Very good. And do you know when that's going to happen, or is it not necessarily far enough along to say it's going to start in the fall or this?
It's actually not far enough along now. DHS is just getting ready to put out a SUE with the mobile computing devices and virtual desktops. So when it does come out, we want to be one of the first.
Well, excellent. Well, something for us to follow up on maybe in a couple of months. Let's take another break. When we come back, we'll talk more about technology and the role it plays at FLETC. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Sandy Peavy, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Sandy Peavy, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Chief Information Officer. Now, Sandy, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about mobile computing. We talked about simulations. We talked about some enterprise services. One of the other issues that kind of occurred to me as we were talking through this is your job must have changed quite a bit over the years. Now, we did talk a little bit about you moving from a more tactical to a more strategic CIO, but that's more of from a large perspective. The smaller perspective is technology has made such leaps and bounds over the last decade that I imagine that the way you have to offer technologies and prove that they work has really created a different layer to your job.
When I first got to FLETC, the assistant director for training told me that he had never seen a computer put handcuffs on anyone. Now, mind you, that was about 11 years ago. And currently, as you would expect, the vast majority of our FLETC students, they're from the X and Y generation. You know, we've talked about the fact that these kids use smartphones and other devices to communicate and learn. And that's why we're really focused on trying to leverage the mobile technologies and adapt it to our environment. A lot of the senior people that are here today, they grew up in their, they spent most of their whole careers without having technology. And while they understand the need for the technology, it's sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So we have a training and innovation directorate that specifically their job is to look at how to get this technology and incorporate it into our training programs.
Is that a new director? I mean, is that something that kind of came about over the last couple of years?
Yes, it is. We did this probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
And how does that fall into your office? I mean, are you directly responsible for them, or are you kind of helping them with when they say we want to do something, you say, okay, our systems can support that or can support this? Like, what's your role?
We work hand in hand with them. We do a lot of telling them how we will be able to support what they can and cannot do. But we also help them look at the new technologies, and we try to help them with the actual research part of this too, as well as the sustainment, the O&M.
Oh, that's very interesting. It's kind of a different tact, because I think innovations is something obviously that the Obama administration has pushed for a lot, but you're seeing innovations pop up more under the CTO. So that's a kind of it's a very interesting tact. Obviously, there's a lot of vendors who are interested in working with DHS, working with FLETC. Give me a sense of what vendors should know about working with your office specifically.
One of my biggest challenges is what all government organizations are facing, and that's that I've got to support our operational capabilities in a resource-constrained world, and you know, while our budgets are continuing to decline. So I've got to optimize and consolidate, and I'm going to have some really tough choices ahead of me. Cost is going to be a big driver, and there's going to be more pressure towards standardization. And with that as a backdrop, what I need from vendors is some truly innovative ways to help me accomplish our training mission. All right, let me give you an example, Jason. The avatar that I just mentioned earlier, it was developed by the Army to assist soldiers in Iraq in the area of tactical questioning and cultural awareness. And because FLETC teaches interviewing techniques to law enforcement, we provided the SMEs that were crucial to the development of that program. And as a result, we got a sophisticated simulation that we could tweak for our use that we would never have been able to afford, and the Army got a much better product. And we have what's called gift authority, and that's where industry has donated some items that they're decommissioning, like aircraft that we use for our flying while armed and the Federal Air Marshal training. So my question there is that are there technological opportunities such as those that we could capitalize on? So, again, my challenge to industry is to help us provide some really innovative solutions for the priorities that I discussed earlier, where FLETC doesn't have to spend big dollars on either acquisition or O&M, but where both of us can win. Because, I mean, you know, face it, we touch so many different organizations that it's really a great way for somebody to get their product recognized and used.
How open is industry to doing this? Because a lot of times, you know, they're looking for the big contract. They're looking to get their product or service inside, and you really have a long-term relationship. When the gift authority, that, you know, that can be a little scary for some vendors.
Yeah, and like I said, most of the time we haven't tried to use it from the technological aspect yet, and I'm not Candice, but that's what I would like to challenge industry with, is to see if there are some things that we could do around that area. The other thing that we did a while back that we thought had an opportunity to work but didn't was like a share in savings. And I think that there are innovative, out-of-the-box ways that industry can help us if we put our heads together.
I think share in savings is one of those things that was a really great idea, but not enough information, not enough understanding of how it works has been used over the years. I know a provision in the E-Government Act of 2003 that really never got off the ground. So that, I think that'd be fascinating if you guys can get that going, because that'd be a great example. Now, how do you like industry to contact you? Are you someone who likes email? Are you like meetings? Do you have someone on your staff that kind of handles that type of things?
We actually go through our procurement activity. So they call over to procurement, and then procurement will help us and make appointments and stuff so that they could come down. We also have industry days. And during those, we will invite people to come down, and we spend like a day or two where people can demo, and that way we can bring everybody at one time to look at what's going on out in the field and see if it can help us, give us some ideas of where we would like to try to go next. Like I said, a lot of times we don't know it till we see it.
All right. Well, that's great advice, because I think, you know, industry days are really great opportunities for people to show up and learn about what's going on. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, so let's talk a little bit about your background. I always like to find out the history. You give us a little bit of insight. You've been at FLETC for 11 years. That's about 10 times the length of a usual CIO in the government. So I guess congratulations there. Well, how'd you end up at FLETC, and where else have you worked in and outside of government?
My entire career has been in the technology field with the federal government. I started as a GS3 computer assistant for OPM, and then I came FLETC's first CIO, as we said, about 11 years ago. I spent, I think it was about 13 years as a civilian in the Air Force. And then in the mid-90s, I was capitalized in DDISA, where I supported their mega center consolidation. And after coming to FLETC in 1999, we were under the Department of Treasury, and I was on Treasury CIO Council up until 2003, when, of course, that's when FLETC became one of the 22 agencies that came together to form DHS. I'm actually one of the original members of the DHS CIO Council and one of the first women CIOs that helped stand up the technology infrastructure for Homeland Security. And we laugh a lot today because I'm the longest standing CIO in the department. And when they want to pull my chain, they call me the oldest. That's when I remind them that I work at a place that has lots of guns.
Very nice. I think, DHS has had a tough decade almost. Obviously, with the things change, things always get better with time. So obviously, you're a good example of that. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. This has been fascinating. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Sandy Peavy, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Chief Information Officer. Sandy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Beth McGrath is DOD's Deputy Chief Management Officer.
The other one that we've made significant progress that I would highlight is supply chain management in terms of the inventory management plan that was issued, I want to say in the October timeframe, which put a lot more fidelity behind our approach to inventory. So GAO has been very pleased with the progress we've made in supply chain as well.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.